Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. Open our eyes that we can see what is written in Paul's writing, and help us to understand it, and more importantly, put what we learn into practice so that we be truly blessed all the days of our life, not only now, but also in the time to come. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I forgot to turn on the mic, right? Okay. So what a servant of Christ is like. Paul, he's the one who's not only talking about Christ's crucifixion. He showed it to the saint in the Corinth how he lived the life as a servant of Christ. Unfortunately, the saint, the believer, the children of God in Corinth, they don't live it out as the children of Christ. They live it out as if they are alien. And Paul write to them, to show it to them, what a servant of Christ is like. In verse 8, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings, and that without us. Why he saying that without us? Because his behavior, his action, did not follow the teaching of Paul. And they want to become king, and without the teaching of Paul, without the teaching of Apollos, Peter, and Jesus Christ. We cannot become kings without this kind of teaching. What is our teaching? Our teaching is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 and 2. Our teaching is telling the church, telling the saint in the church, Jesus is the Christ and Him crucified. If we do not want to crucify ourselves, we cannot become king. I want you to turn to right beside, you have become king. That's what they say, that's what they claim, they have become king. But in reality, no, they are not king. Okay? They just claim to be become king. I want you to write that down right beside, you have become king. And what he said and what he did, you write that down. Is chapter 2, verse 6. They go beyond what is written. Their proclamation go beyond what is written in the scripture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 17 to 18. Let's hear what is written in the book of Romans. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heir with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. You want to become king. You want to receive this kind of glory. You have to share in Christ's suffering before you can share in Christ's glory. And in your suffering, you have to consider what do you have to consider in verse 18? I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I want you to write that down. Our present suffering. I want you to write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 to 13. What did Paul suffer? For it seems to me that God has put us a portion on this plate at the end of the procession. Like men condemned to die in the arena, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. So wise in Christ means they claim to be wise in Christ, but they are foolish men. They claim to have become king, but they are not become king. Far from it. Alright? They just boast about the wrong thing. Okay? If we are not willing to share in Christ's suffering, no way you'll be able to share in His glory. If you don't compare what you suffer now with what you're going to receive, the glory of God in the future, how can you receive it? They proclaim that they are wise in Christ, but Paul said that we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe. Now the whole world read about 1 Corinthians. We all know that. He also has been made a spectacle to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. When Paul claimed that he is weak, I want you to write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. People claim to be strong. They've been arrogant, but they have no power from Jesus Christ. I want you to jump to verse 18. Some of you have become arrogant. Chapter 4, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians. Some of you have become arrogant, claiming that you have become king, claiming that already you have become rich, claiming that already you have all you want. Paul said that, how I wish that you really have become kings, so that we might be kings with you. And some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking. Talking is cheap. But what power they have. I want you to write that down. What power they have. Right beside what power they have. When they claim that you are strong in verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10. We are weak, Paul said that, but you are strong. You claim that you are strong. I want to see what kind of power that you receive from God, just like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Therefore, I will boast boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Verse 10, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. But the people in the Corinth, they want to become king without the teaching of the Bible. They say things, they did things, go beyond what is written. They are not strong, they are weak. And Paul said that when I come, I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. If you say that you are strong, prove it. Prove that you are powerful. Have you raised people from the dead? Just like Paul raised people from the dead, right? Isn't it? Turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arm around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He is alive. His talking, his word come with power, and he is alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. This church at Corinth, they used to be going into the synagogue of Satan. They never heard of the true gospel. They lived an arrogant life, and that's what they used to be. Paul is one of them. Paul used to be learned under the Pharisee. Paul is very arrogant too, but God changed his life. And he found out Peter is unlearned, uneducated, yet Peter has power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. The kingdom of God is a matter of power. And his life was changed. And then I go back. In verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession. God make them humble. God make them weak, so that they're willing to carry the cross. Then God make them powerful in Christ Jesus. Brother and sister, when you boast in the Lord. Prove that you have that kind of power. Keep going. It seems to me that God has put us apostles on his place at the end of the procession. Like men condemned to die in the arena, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe. God wants the whole world to learn an important lesson, a secret mystery. You want to be powerful, you have to be weak in Christ Jesus. I want you to write that down. What does it mean by weak in Christ Jesus? Weak in Christ Jesus then means the cross of Christ. Weak in Christ Jesus means Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Weak means weak in the flesh, but powerful in the spirit. That's what it means by weak. If you say you are strong, that means you are strong in your flesh. You let your life to be controlled by the flesh. If your mind is controlled by the flesh, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it's dead. The mind controlled by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. You know what? If you don't come to the church, when you read the Bible, I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand. You think, well, Paul is weak, you know? And then we are strong. That's good. I like it, you know? Paul, you are poor and I'm rich. That's good. That's exactly what I want in the church now. But that actually, according to the Church of Laodicea, you claim yourself to be rich, you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. Am I right? Don't say anything, go beyond what is written. Where's the Church of Smyrna? They are very poor, but Jesus Christ said, you are rich in Christ. Laodicea church, they say, we are rich. And Corinth say that we have become king. You are not king. You are slave to your own sins. How I wish that you become king, that we can become king with you. They all want to become king without the preaching, without the talking, without the Bible. You go beyond what is written. Give me a break. Let's hear. What did I say? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I want you to write that down. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. That's what it means. I am weak in the flesh in Christ. I do not let my flesh to control my action. I do not let the flesh to control my speech. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is why he's so powerful, because Christ lives in him. Brother and sister, if you're not willing to share in Christ's suffering, if you're not willing to be weak in your own flesh, to be strong spiritually, Christ cannot live in you. Right beside that, Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you is right after you crucified with Jesus Christ. That's it. Chapter 2, verse 20 is exactly chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, 24 and 25. Turn to Galatians 5, 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passion and desire. And that's why Paul said that, I have been crucified with Christ. I have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If you're not willing to carry the cross and deny yourself, you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be powerful. And Christ will not live in you. I don't care what you claim. You claim to be strong. In fact, you are so weak that you don't know. You stumble already because you are arrogant. You are proud. And you write that down right beside arrogant. Right now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. God mocks proud walkers, but God gives grace to the humble. You claim to be strong. You claim to be rich. You claim to have all you want. You don't need the preacher. And you claim you have become king without the preacher teaching. And Paul said, how I wish you really have become king. So that we might be king with you. I want you to write that down right beside verse 9. This biblical teaching is very, very exciting. I want to show it to you, okay? I want you to go home. You write your finger, okay? You write your finger like that. That's the thumb you need, right? The thumb is the lowest among all the fingers. The highest is this finger, the middle finger. The lowest is the thumb. Can you imagine if you have lost the thumb? Use the forefinger. Try to hold the Bible. Could you try to hold the Bible? So we demonstrate then if you do that. Hold the Bible with forefinger. Just like that, and you get out. Hold it with all five fingers with the thumb. Can I yank it out? I can't yank it out. Brother and sister, learn that lesson. If you want to be strong, you become weak. Just like the thumb. You want to be the top in the procession, you are at the end of it. God make it this way. Do you know that God make it this way? When you say you're number one, do you say you're number one like that? or you say you're number one, right? You want to be number one, you have to be the lowest. God make it like that. In the spirit, in the physical world, in the spiritual world. If you want to become king, brother and sister in the church, you be the servant of Christ. You are at the end of the procession. You let all other people get the glory. And you humble yourself. And God sustain you and give you grace. If you being a proud mocker, and God gonna mock at you and make you humble. Take away all the things that He has given it to you. Then you learn the lesson. Be strong. Keep going. Verse 10. We are full for Christ. When you become full for Christ, you are powerful man. You are strong man in Christ. But you are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. I want you to write that down. Write all these words, Bible verses. You write Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. He showed to you, he has been crucified with Christ Jesus. The life that he lived, he no longer lived, but Christ lived in him. And then keep going. Your honor, we are dishonored because we carry the cross. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When Paul said that we work hard with our own hands, the church of Corinth understood what he tried to say. Turn to Acts chapter 18. Verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who has recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. And Paul went to see them, and because Paul was a tent maker as they were, so Paul stayed and worked with them. And he said, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. From Monday to Friday, Paul worked Fridays to earn for his living, and then preached the gospel in the synagogue of Corinth, and then converse those people who believe in him, believe in his teaching, and then left the synagogue and established the church in Corinth. So Paul did not take any salary from this church. And when Paul is writing this, writing the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul is still at the church of Ephesus. Ephesus did not pay him either. Brother and sister, I want you to make sure you remember one thing. When Paul said that, to this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. And we are homeless. You are honored, and we are dishonored. And we work hard with our own hands. I want you to remember, when I pass away, I want you to make sure when you have a new pastor to come to this church, make sure you do your tithe and pay him. Don't let him rag dressed in rag. Don't let him be mistreated. I found out not only now pastor mistreated, and ever since the church was started, it was like that. And how can you become king? You tell me, how can you become king? You're not serving. You're not a servant of Christ. Right? That is a shame. You live in a big house. Where's your father? Live in a lousy one. Do you make, does this make you a rich man? No. Right? I still remember. I made a good sale when I was an engineer. Because I'm self-employed. Oh, when my first sale, 2000. After tax, not much. And my rent at that time is $1,000. And I cannot pay the health care. The health care in those days is $1,000 for a family of four. You know what I mean? No health care. When my children are sick, I go to hospital. I have no health care. At that time, Joyce has 106.5 degrees. Very high. And I paid $3,000 to the hospital. Nobody knows. When I read the Bible, I'm just following what Paul has been doing. And Paul followed the very footstep of Jesus Christ. He's homeless too. Nobody dared to accommodate Jesus when Jesus went to Jerusalem to preach. Because all the Pharisees say that Jesus is not the servant of God. None of them dare to accommodate Jesus. So Jesus sleep on the mountain, opposite to Mount Zion, Jerusalem. You mistreat the servant of God, you mistreat Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down. Learn this lesson. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, all the way to 42. He who received you received me. He who received the apostle have received Jesus Christ. He who received me received the one who sent me. Anyone received a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who received a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone give even a cup of cold water to the one of the little one because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Indeed, you will become king. It's not like two days ago, Friday afternoon, I went to one of our brother's house to do the Bible study, and another fellow asked me the question. He said that his pastor, now he has two pastors, and I was told his church is around 30 some people, two pastors. One pastor has come to the church for 2 months, and another comes to the pastor, come to be a pastor in this church for 1 month. Can you see why the leader of the church, for 30 people, you need two pastors? And the pastor raised the question, saying that if God predestined us to be saved, why do we have to preach the gospel? He said he didn't have the answer. He posed that question to the congregation. And he's the one who's teaching Sunday school and leading Bible study and fellowship, and he asked me, what is the answer? And I say to him, I say, I don't know much about your church. I've never been to your church. But one thing I do know, the congregation in your church did not offer tithing. 30 people supposed to be able, 10 people supposed to be able to support one pastor. 30 people, and you cannot afford to hire a senior pastor. You hire two pastors. He doesn't know the word of God. I say, what is going on? They want to hire someone that, the elder want to hire someone, the young man, listen to me, I tell you what to preach. They are proud men. They are arrogant. I say, I know for sure, even though I don't go to the church, one thing I do know, your people do not tithe. He said, yes. Brother and sister, do not deceive yourself, man. If you keep on doing like that, although Paul being treated as scum of the world, in reality, those people who treat the pastor like that, he will become scum of the world. I want to stop here, okay? I can tell you one secret that young pastor don't know that. Isn't it God saying through Paul in Romans chapter 8 verse 29 to 30? Those God foreknew and God predestined. Those God predestined what? Predestined them to follow the very pattern of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ carried the cross, you have to carry the cross. If Jesus Christ carried the cross, that's why Paul was treated as scum of the world, as refuse of the earth. But he is not the refuse of the earth. He is the crown jewel in God's sight. He is the apple of his eyes, man. You treat him like that, you treated him, you are in deep trouble. David dare not mistreat King Saul. He has opportunity to execute him, to kill him. He didn't touch him. Therefore, nobody dare to touch David. You receive what you sow. To the faithful, the Lord proved himself to be faithful. To the blameless, he showed himself to be blameless. To the pure, he showed himself to be pure. To the crooked one, to the arrogant one, he showed himself to be shrewd. Don't let God to treat you like that. Don't be a fool. Do not deceive yourself. I give you a secret, I said. If God predestined us to receive glory, not only in 8:29 to verse 30. I say that one more time. Those God foreknew, he predestined. Predestined you to follow, to carry the cross, deny yourself, to follow Jesus Christ. So that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among the brothers. According to Colossians, Jesus Christ is not only the firstborn among the brother, Jesus is firstborn over all creation. Jesus Christ, the firstborn among the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the supremacy. Everything, he's the dumb. But he's the lowest. He's the number one. But he acts like he's the master. And then God said, those I predestined, I call. Those I call, I justify. Those I justify, I glorify. Go back. 8:17. If we are children of God, we are heir of God. Co-heir with Jesus Christ. If indeed we share in Christ's suffering, we're going to share in his glory. When you suffer pain, when the time is bad, you consider your present suffering cannot even compare with the future glory that is going to be revealed to you. You're going to receive glory. Right beside glory, you write that down. 9:23. We are the object of God's mercy prepared in advance for glory. What kind of glory? You write that. Chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. The glory of the Lord God. This kind of glory never is upon us. What kind of glory are you talking about? The glory I'm talking about is 1:7. I'm sorry. 2:7. 1 Corinthians. God predestined us for the glory before the creation of the world. You want to receive that kind of glory? You humble yourself. You fear the Lord. Don't ever think that you are wise in him. He will make your path straight. Because we are crooked now. Turn around, man. Don't deceive yourself. Be wise. And I'm not saying this church mistreated me. No. This church treated me really, really well. But at the end of my life, right? Not at the beginning. Am I right? Let's keep going. Now, if God predestined us for the glory, why do we have to chase after God? Why do we have to carry the cross? We are predestined to get glory. I don't need to do anything. Just like the young pastor said, if you're predestined to have eternal life, you don't need to preach the gospel. He will get eternal life. I know that, yes. He's going to get eternal life.
but the one who shared the gospel to him, so that he believed in Jesus Christ, that person, so that seed to that person will be rewarded. But you don't get it anymore. Do you understand? What did I just say? If we are predestined to get it, do we have to chase after that? Why? God predestined already. If you don't chase after that, I'm sorry, you write that down. Romans chapter 9 verse 22, you are the object of his wrath. Prepare for destruction. When I sow the seed, you believe in it, I know you are the object of his mercy. Prepare in advance for his wrath. If I sow the seed, tell you the word of God, you reject it, you are the object of God's wrath. You are 922, you are not 923. You understand? When I sow the seed, when I preach you the word of God, and I want to see how you're going to respond to it. And Paul see that. They don't respond nicely. They reject God's word. So that's why Paul say, I'm going to send my faithful son, Timothy, to you. He's going to tell you what I preach to other churches. What I preach to other churches, exactly what I preach to you. But when Paul preached to other churches like Galatians chapter 2 verse 22, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. The life that I live now is not my life. It's Christ hidden in me. But he didn't tell other people in detail. I'm mistreated. I'm in wreck. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He gives more detail because they're infant. You don't explain to them, they don't even understand. I tell you one thing. If you are the children of your household, make sure you know that your daddy, mommy is 60-some-odd years old already. You work hard at home. Make him live a comfortable life. Don't abuse your parents. Be mature, man. Don't be a fool. They have been working all their life to support you. And now they have to serve you again. If you are mature, you know what you do. Everybody say, make them live a life comfortably. You honor them, God give you a long life with a blessing. Come on. You guys read the Bible. Do it. Do you understand Moses? Hannah, do you understand that? If I ever see that you betrayed my brother King, I'm going to whip you, okay? Just like chapter 4, verse 21. What do you prefer? So I come to you with a whip, or in love, and with a gentle spirit. Then Paul say that we work hard with our own hand. The church of Corinth, they know that. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become a scum of the earth, the rebels of the world. You write that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 5, 24-25. Galatians only gives you the theory, gives you the statement without giving you the detail what he really means by crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ Jesus. The life that I live is not me anymore, it's Christ living in me. When Christ lives in you, people don't see you anymore, they see Christ. This is what a servant of Christ is like. If I don't explain that to you, you don't even know. You don't even know that at your home, you got to treat your parents well. You got to work hard, man. Oh, I'm tired. What do you mean you're tired? Everyone is tired. When you are dead, you don't feel tired, right? Oh, I don't know how to cook. Hannah, you better learn how to cook before you get married. Because your husband is going to slay you, I guarantee you. Hey, you're not planning to get married like Joyce? Okay, well, trying to grow. Learn from Wendy then. Keep going. Chapter 4, verse 13. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. If you become the garbage of the world, oh man, you are acting like a king in advance, because God prepared you to be king. And Paul said that I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, even though you have 10,000 people teaching you how to follow Jesus, you do not have many fathers. You only have one father. For in Christ Jesus, I become your father through the gospel. Because Paul lead them to Christ. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Right beside imitate me, you write down 11:1. Because I imitate Jesus Christ. Through verse 9 all the way to 13, he act like Jesus. He crucified his own flesh. He no longer lived, but Christ lived in him. In detail. Verse 17, for this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agree with what I teach everywhere in every church. What Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians, exactly what he teaches in Romans, in Corinth, in Galatians, in Ephesians, in Philippi, because Timothy knows that. Because Timothy followed Paul. In Acts chapter 18, when Timothy comes to Corinth, and then Paul starts preaching the cross. Because he knows that when he preaches about the cross, someone beats him up, he has Silas and Timothy to help him. You know, some people say, wow, you preaching very tough. Paul, why you preach the cross to our church? Paul said that I do it with every other churches. I do not so favor this son. I give you the best, the mystery of Christ, so that you can receive glory of Christ. Am I right? When Timothy comes, he will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus. In other words, the way of life in Christ Jesus, Paul's ways of life in Christ Jesus agree with Paul's teaching. You write that down. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He watched his life. He made sure when he preached the crucifixion, he himself carried the cross. And then he watched his doctrine, his teaching. His teaching. If Jesus is the Christ, his teaching is Jesus crucified. His life matched his teaching. His action matched his word. He lived a life worthy of the Lord. He lived a life worthy of the calling. He proved his repentance by his deed. He truly is the genuine servant of Christ. And that's why he dared to say, imitate me. Like a father asking his children, say, like father, like son, imitate me. Some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon. But then Paul stopped and said, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but
how, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. When you become weak and carry the cross and deny yourself, become weak and carry the cross and follow Jesus, act like Jesus, then God is going to show him his power in his life. He's powerful in speech, he's powerful in action. At the end of his conversation, then he said, in conclusion, what do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip? Because he treated the audience as if they are his son, spiritual son. Because he knows that if you become proud like this, you stumble. You fall into the trap of Satan. You're going to lose your salvation. That's why Paul had to whip them. Or do you want me to come in love and with a gentle spirit? Right beside the whip. The reason for the whip is for correction. You write that down. Bible is good for four things. Number one, good for teaching. IG. Number one. Number two, good for rebuilding. Number three, good for correcting. Correcting is moving. Number four, good for training in righteousness. We don't want to be correct. We want God to go back to teach so that we learn, we train in righteousness. Our Heavenly Father, I pray every time that your servant opens his mouth, and explain your word and help him to explain it clearly. And we also know, according to Paul's teaching, he not only teaches the cross in the church of Corinth, he teaches about the cross of Christ in all churches so that we all grow into maturity. And help us to understand that and help us to follow Jesus Christ and deny ourselves and carry out the cross. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.